Today is the feast day of the dedication of the Basilica of St. Mary Major. This is one of the four big or major basilicas in Rome. Everyone thinks of St. Peter's. That's the famous one, but the mother church in Rome is St. John Lateran. Then there's which is a very old church. St. Peter's was rebuilt during the Renaissance. And then there's St. Paul's outside the walls. That's the newest of all because it was rebuilt, I think, in the 19th century. And then there's this one, the only one dedicated to Mary, a very old church, Santa Maria Maggiore. Santa Maria Maggiore gets a lot of attention now because Pope Francis goes there a lot every time he makes a trip. He goes there before he travels, he asks the intercession of Our Lady, and then when he comes back home to Rome, he goes there again and thanks Mary for the safety and for the fruitfulness of his trip. So, and the media are always following the Pope around, so they're always going to this church, St. Mary Major. The church has liturgical celebrations in honor of these basilicas because it's a way of reminding us of the stability of the church. Not that these church buildings are going to last forever. St. Paul's is a great example, St. Peter's too. They didn't last forever, they were rebuilt. But there are signs to us of the enduring quality of the church, built on the apostles, built on the faith of Mary, which does not change. And this is important to keep in mind because when we face the upheavals and the conflicts and the confusion of the times, it can seem like the church is sinking or losing its way or dying or something. And that's not true. The church has lots of ups and downs throughout history. Lots of buildings crumble along the way, but the church herself remains firm. The faith remains firm. So it's good to go to a church that's maybe 1500 or 1600 years old and be reminded, oh, okay, a pandemic, a controversy, a scandal, that's not going to bring down the church. Now, in today's readings, we have two major figures, Moses in the first reading and Peter in the gospel, both of whom are giants of the faith and examples to us of genuine following the Lord and also examples to us of stumbling along the way. So I think it's quite striking that the liturgy puts these two readings together. Let's start with Moses. Here, the people of Israel or the children of Israel are once again grumbling, complaining about the hardships of traveling through the desert. We've heard this song before. Remember, on Monday, they were complaining about not having food. They wanted to have cucumbers, melons, garlic, onions, and leeks. they had food, they had manna, but they wanted cucumbers. In this reading, they're complaining because they don't have grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. You get this story. It's not that they don't have what they need, it's that they don't have what they want. They want pomegranates and figs. So Moses again appeals to the Lord, and the Lord says, well, tell or order the rock to yield its waters. Now, something went wrong here. It's not absolutely clear what it was, but after the water is gushing forth from the rock, the Lord rebukes Moses and Aaron, and he says, you were not faithful to me in showing forth my sanctity before the children of Israel, so you will not lead the community into the promised land. So what went wrong? The commentators disagree. The scholars disagree about quite what it was. Some say that Moses should not have struck the rock twice. He should have just struck it once. Some say that Moses' fault here was that he was yelling at the people instead of calling on the Lord. He says, "Listen to me, you rebels." So instead of turning to the Lord and saying, "Lord, grant your people the water that they need," he instead got focused on the hard-heartedness of the people. Some say that the fault of Moses was that he struck the rock at all, because the Lord didn't tell him to strike the rock. He told him to order the rock to yield its waters. So, well, we don't know exactly what it was. But notice that no matter what Moses did wrong, God still provided the water. So even when leaders, or even when we fail, God does not fail. We see something similar in today's gospel. The question is, who do you say that I am? Peter gives the answer that we still hold today. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. This is the declaration of Peter and the declaration of all his successors, right up to Pope Francis. It's what we believe. That's the good part. But then, just a few moments later, when Jesus speaks about the passion, Peter says, "No, no, no. That's not part of the story." And that's where Peter was wrong. And Jesus turns and says, "You get behind me, Satan." So, like Moses, the great leader, the man who was the meekest man on the face of the earth, Moses stumbled and did not rely on or reveal the sanctity of the Lord. Something similar with Peter. Peter declares clearly who Jesus is. It's a great testimony of faith. In fact, Jesus says, "You got this directly as a revelation from my Father." But then he, in rejecting the next thing that the Father reveals through Jesus, the mystery of the passion, he no longer can stand as an example. He instead is a Satan, an obstacle. But just as God did not refuse the water simply because Moses was a stumbler, Jesus did not withdraw from Peter his authority as the rock. Jesus calls him Satan, "Get behind me." But he doesn't say, "You're not the rock anymore." He doesn't say, "I'm going to take away the keys of the kingdom of heaven." He still entrusts that power to the church, to the Pope. This shows, even when man fails, God does not fail. Even when man stumbles, God does not stumble. Even when our leaders do things that are scandalous or foolish or confusing, God is not scandalous. He's not foolish and he's not confusing. God is a rock. We can rely on him. One of the proofs of this faithfulness of God is, no matter what Moses did wrong, the mystics point to his striking the rock as a prefiguration of the soldier piercing the heart of Jesus with the lance. That soldier was no great saint. That soldier was, who knows, he was maybe just doing his job, or maybe he was just wanting to get this over with or whatever. But in the midst of that moment of terrible abuse of the dead body of the Lord, what comes forth? Blood and water, a flood of grace. It's another sign that it's not the holiness of man that, or the consistency of man, or the stability, or even the correctness of man that brings forth grace. It's God's unchanging determination to bless his people. whether from a rock in the desert or from his pierced heart on the cross or from the pronouncements of the church, God is pouring forth blood and water. Even when a weak and sinful priest offers the Mass, we still receive the Eucharist from that Mass. That's the beauty of the faith. So we are being encouraged here to entrust ourselves to the Lord, the real rock, God who works through imperfect instruments, like Moses and like Peter, and like all the clergy and like all of us. The Lord is the one to whom we call, and he's the one on whom we build. On this feast day of Saint Mary Major, the dedication of the Basilica, we turn to Mary. Mary is the only one who does not have any imperfections or stumbling. Mary's the only one who we can turn to and say, well, for sure, Mary, you who are mother of the church, you who are the Maria Maggiore, you're the one we can always go to. Mary, you show us how to remain faithful and pure and holy, true. Let me add one last idea here, because whenever we honor Mary, not far away is Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph, we're honoring him throughout this year. Why isn't there a big basilica to Saint Joseph in Rome? Because Joseph is with Mary. Mary represents the church, and Joseph is the protector of the church. So Santa Maria Maggiore, that basilica in Rome, it has Joseph watching over it. If we wonder what Joseph is doing, he's pointing to Mary, his wife. What is Mary doing? She's pointing to Jesus, her son. This is the rock. This is for sure what's happening. Joseph drawing us into his family, with whom he protects. Mary, under the protection of Joseph, holding up for us Jesus. And Jesus, who's Jesus? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's revealed directly by the Father. So the richness of our faith is on display on this feast day and in these profound readings.